From the moment a child is born, we begin the process of chinuch. We begin educating them about various aspects of Yiddishkeit. A child very quickly realizes Shabbos is a special day. We eat differently. We talk differently. Our schedule is different. As far as kashrus, children very quickly realize we don't mix milk and meat. Certain products we eat, certain products we don't. And as children grow up in an observant home, they grow up with an appreciation of many of the aspects of Yiddishkeit. Ribbis, the prohibition against charging interest, is very different. That very same child, literally from the day he was born, may have gotten as a present a savings bond from an uncle put away. He gets a little bit older, his parents open up a savings account for him. He gets older, he gets a credit card, a mortgage, and he grows up paying interest is very much a part of his life. And therefore it's no surprise that when a person learns about Hilchus Ribbis, when he learns that Alpi Halacha, there's a very severe prohibition against charging or paying another Jew interest, people are shocked. It runs counter to their chinuch, to their upbringing. And people often have a very difficult time assimilating these halachas and applying it to their daily lives. Now, when people think ribbis, what often comes to mind are mortgages, banks, financiers. But what we're going to see is ribbis takes many shapes and forms. And it applies to virtually all of us. Ribbis is a pretty complicated topic. We're certainly not going to have the time to go through many of the details in this year. We're going to start with a basic overview. What is ribbis, and what are the basic categories where it applies? To begin with, ribbis is very unique. A person that charges interest violates not one, not two, but six different lavim midoraisa. Not only does the lender, the person who's actually profiting from the transaction, violate these yisurim, but the borrower, the arev, the edim, and the sofer, the person drafting the contract, all violate various yisurim d'oraisa. Now this is unique. A gazlan, someone who steals money, the person who stole the money violates an yisur, the victim did nothing wrong. When it comes to aina, you overcharge someone, you've ripped him off, you violated an Isser, the victim did nothing wrong. When it comes to Ribbis, the Torah placed Isurim on every party to the every party of the transaction. The borrower, the lender, the person that drafted the document. And the Bach explains the reason for that is because Ribbis is so tempting, the financial markets, until very recently, were extremely lucrative. There's a very big taiva, it's very tempting for a person to engage in ribbis. That's why there are so many different yisurim, and that's why it was placed on every member, everyone involved in the transaction. So let's begin. The classic case of ribbis, ribbis ktsutza, ribbis d'oraisa, is when one Jew charges another Jew interest on a loan. Now, it's important to realize, ribbis applies only when both parties are Jewish. If either the borrower or the lender is not Jewish, then the isum of ribbis do not apply. Now, the Achrayim explain that we see from this, there's nothing inherently wrong with charging interest. If you have a car, someone else wants to borrow the car for a day. So you tell them, you can use the car, pay me $50. It's a rental, it's a lease. You're charging for the use of the car. Technically speaking, if I have money, and you want to use that money for a period of time, the lender has every moral right to say, I want to be paid. You're using the money for a certain amount of time, pay me for it. The Torah says that when you're dealing with two Jews, when you're dealing with your brother, you have a higher standard. You have a responsibility. If he needs money, he has a cash flow problem, lend it to him in kesef talves ami. There's a mitzvah assay to go ahead and give an interest-free loan. But it's a behavior that's demanded of brothers. It's not by when you're dealing with a non-Jew, when you're dealing with someone who is not your brother, you can deal with him as a regular commercial transaction level. You can charge him interest, he can charge you interest. There's nothing wrong with doing that. Now this resolves many of the issues of ribbis. If you're taking a mortgage, provided that the bank that you're dealing with is not Jewish, there are no ribbis concerns. If you're using a credit card, you have a bank account. As long as your counterparty is not Jewish, there is no problem of ribbis. Now, that actually leads to an interesting situation. If your counterparty is not Jewish, you generally have no problems. If your counterparty is a frum Jew, then, as we'll discuss in a later shiur, there's a concept of a heteriska. There's usually a way to work things out where the transaction can be done and it will be permissible according to halacha. However, if your counterparty is Jewish, but he's not observant, then things can get very difficult. It can be a challenge. Because the concept of the issue of ribbis applies between Jews, and it applies even if one of the parties is not observant. But the solutions, the heter iska, different ways in which you can restructure the deal for it to be permissible, it may be difficult to get cooperation if the counterparty is not overly concerned with hilchos ribbis. So it's something to be aware of, that when you're dealing with a counterparty that is not firm, you have to be very on top of it, and you have to be very aware of the problem and very proactive in seeking solutions. Now, for ribbis d'oraisa, biblical ribbis, you need two basic elements. You need to start with a loan, and there needs to be a pre-negotiated ribbis payment. Now, what that means is like this. Say you go to a doctor. You hire an attorney. He provides a service for you. He provides a service. He sends you a bill. He expects to get paid. Very often, on the invoice, there'll be a little note that anything not paid within 30 days, well, there'll be a late payment penalty tacked on, 1.5% a month. Now, that case is not ribbis d'oraisa. There was no loan. Nobody borrowed money. There was a debt created by a service. And therefore, it will not be ribbis k'tusa, it will not be ribbis d'oraisa. Nevertheless, midrabbanan, it's going to be aser. Although there was no loan, it was a service provided, if there is a penalty that accrues, it's 1.5% a month, every month that you're late, that is going to be aser midrabbanan, and you cannot pay or charge such a penalty. If you're a doctor, or if you hire someone who is Jewish, you have to make sure that he's not adding on these type of penalties. Now again, we'll discuss this more in a shiur about real estate leases. A one-time penalty is okay. You can write that if payment is not made within 30 days, there'll be a 5% fee added on, but it can't accrue. It can't increase as time goes on. It has to be a one-time penalty. So that's the first concept. It needs to start with a loan. A mekach u'memkar, a transaction that is either a purchase, a sale, a lease, a service provider, that will not be ribbis d'oraisa. Although again, as we will see, there are many cases where it will be aser midrabbanan. The second element that you need is a ktsitsa. There needs to be a pre-negotiated agreement to pay ribbis. So for example, a person needs to borrow money. He finds a friend, borrows the money. You both just heard a shiur on hilchos ribbis, so you give it to him interest-free. Take it, use the money for a month. I don't want anything. That Friday you come home, and you see on your doorstep a candy dish with a thank you note, a bottle of schnapps, whatever it is. Thank you very much for the loan. Now, in that case, there was no ktsitsa. When the money was lent, the borrower wasn't obligated to give anything else, to give anything extra in exchange. On his own, he decided to throw in a bonus. He decided to throw in a present to show his hakaras hatoiv, to show his gratitude, to show his appreciation. That would not be ribbis d'oraisa. However, it's ribbis d'rabbanan. Chazal said, any time you're giving or receiving a benefit in exchange for a loan, even though it wasn't pre-negotiated, it will be Asur Midrabanan. Now, again, there are many differences between Ribbis D'Oraisa and Ribbis D'Rabbanan. We're not going to get into that during this year, but it's important to realize that for D'Oraisa, you need a loan and you need a ktsitsa, you need an agreement to pay Ribbis. Midrabanan, neither element is necessarily needed. You can have Ribbis without a loan, and you can have Ribbis that was given in the form of a present, even though there was no pre-negotiations. Now, a very common case of Ribbis involves a situation where the parties have no intention of making a dime. And what very often happens is like this. A person has a credit card. He has a credit card. A friend of his is not a very good credit risk. He doesn't qualify for a card. So he goes over to you and says, listen, do me a favor. Let me use your card, and I'll make all of the payments. Now, first of all, you should know it's not a good idea. The credit card company is no good and well what they're doing. And if they've decided your friend isn't a good credit risk, he probably isn't. And you may or may not ever get back, see the money. But let's assume you're ready to take your chances. You're ready to roll the dice. You give him the card. Go spend what you want. He goes ahead, racks up a huge, huge bill, and every month he makes the minimum payment. This is a case of Ribbis D'Oraisa. Why? Because the bank, the credit card company, is not lending your friend the money. They never heard of your friend. They don't know who he is. They have no claim against him. They are giving the money to you, the account holder. You, by giving the card to your friend, by allowing him to use it, every time he swipes the card, he now is borrowing the money from you. It's not the bank. The bank's not lending it to him. He's borrowed the money from you. When he pays you back, he's not just paying the principal, the amount that he swiped in the card. He's making all the interest payments. Now, these interest payments may have accrued on a purchase that he made, but who owes the interest? The cardholder. It's his card. He's the one responsible to the bank. And the interest is accruing on a loan between him and the bank. And therefore, the halacha is every payment or all the interest that accrues on these purchases, the buyer cannot reimburse the cardholder. And if he does, it will be ribbis ktsitsa. Now, these cases are, in a sense, tragic. The parties are just, the cardholder is simply trying to be a nice fellow. He's trying to help out. He's not looking to make a dime. But what he's done is he's put himself in a situation where every payment is going to be ribbis d'oraisa and something that needs to be avoided. Now, another common case of ribbis is prepayment. You order goods. According to halacha, when do you pay for goods? When they're delivered. When you receive the goods, you pay for them. If the seller needs cash, and he says that, I'll tell you what, pay me up front for the goods, and I'll give it to you at a lower price. So what essentially the seller is saying, lend me the money until the goods come in, until they arrive, and in exchange for that loan, I'm going to lower the price. That's going to be usur. Now, a very common example of this, or a shiloh, there are places that are matrid for various reasons, which we won't go into, is every newspaper subscription. The paper may cost $2 a week if you buy it in the store. If you subscribe and buy a year subscription, you get it at a very steep discount. So in that situation, you're receiving a discount, you're paying less, because you're prepaying, because you're, in a sense, lending the publisher the money until the goods are delivered. The flip side is also problematic. Very often you'll have an item that's for sale and it has a certain price. It costs $200. If a buyer comes in and says, I want to buy it on credit, I'd like to make installment plans, the seller very often will raise the price. The cash price is $200. You want to buy it and pay me over the next couple of months, you have to pay me more. So in that case as well, although it's not ribbis d'oraisa because we're dealing with a sale, since you are charging more in exchange for being able to pay late, in exchange for financing it, for the credit, this would be a case of ribbis d'rabbanan. Now these are simply the general guidelines. There are many details, many pratim, which we will, imirtz Hashem, discuss in some of the next shiurim. Thank you.
This presentation has been brought to you by the Orthodox Union in conjunction with the Beis Havar Institute of Talmudic Law, the Center for the Study and Practice of Monetary Halacha.